Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, October 4th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, a lot of gold buyers out there and believers of gold are out there just shaking our heads to the, to the explosion that we saw in gold today, not to the upside, but certainly to the downside. And, there's certain days you see gold go up, you see it go down, and everybody says, oh, it's manipulated. It is manipulated. By any means, it's manipulated. But today is a classic example of what I believe is true manipulation. And what they do is they release all these news reports and different market reports and conversations and statements from various heads of states, from Christine Lagarde, from the new prime minister out of England, and it all works together. And I think this is one reason, maybe several reasons, if you view the announcements and comments from everyone. Gold is down $42 right now in the aftermarket at $1,269. Down $42 at $1,269. Silver was down almost a full dollar, down 5% at $1,793. Platinum was down 19 at 990. Palladium was down 15 at 701. And yesterday, they really did hit the white metal markets. Platinum and palladium were hit hard yesterday and coming in again. And I just don't think gold could keep its level that it's had. And we'll talk about some of those comments coming from the Fed, Christine Lagarde, the meeting in Washington beginning October 7th. And again, it's the same thing. Big meetings of global heads of state to talk about, what's happening over here, the possibilities of trade, and their little global network being challenged. They don't like it, and this is all part of it. Gold is very much a big part of that system. You have the U.S. dollar today increased 0.37 at 96.12. Crude oil was down 0.19 at 48.62. And let's see what the paper markets did today. There were some pressures. They came back. At the end, they weren't as strong as we saw earlier in the day. You had the Dow down 85, coming off some triple digits at 18,168. The NASDAQ was down 11 at 52.89. The S&P was down 10 at 21.50. 10-year yield that continues to climb 1.68.06. A little pressure on the euro, 112, down 0.03. That didn't drop as much as it should have, considering the dollar was up as much as it was. So, again, and this gold had, this has plunged the most in almost 3 years. We fell below the 1300 mark, and this is the first time since June. And this was all based, all the reports that you're going to hear is going to be based on the Fed is ready to boost interest rates soon. They don't say when or whatever. One of the head Federal Reserve presidents said that the environment that we are in, the expectations of a rate hike is coming. We have very little signs of inflation. And so these are the things that seem to view negative for gold. But you have to remember in December of last year, they raised the rate a quarter point, and we're up 24-30% for the year. And, I mean, we're still up. What are we still up?
About 19%.
Still up 19%. Let me see here if you're correct. Yes, you are. Closer to 20. But so, yeah, we're still, that's a pretty good year. So you can't look at these numbers and saying that the game is over. You had the pound that tumbled to its lowest level in 3 decades. And this is, they're going back to the concerns about Brexit, that is going to restrict access to the European Union's single market. And, Prime Minister Theresa May said, to take the view that financial services would get no special favors in the European Union exit talks. So you had most emerging market currencies retreated. The South African's rand probably fell the most today. So again, it's currencies, it's manipulation, and this is a classic example today, I believe.
Well, fundamentals are fundamentals.
Fundamentals are still
there.
And if
the price of gold has changed, the fundamentals have not.
Correct.
One of the fundamentals is the national debt, which on last Friday, at the end of the fiscal 2016, the official national debt was $19,573,444,713,936.79.
Could you
so we can
that
say
out?
$20 trillion just for sport. But here's the thing that amuses me about this. They've got the national debt down to the 79 cents, all right, down to the penny. And you know what the national debt is? And yet the Pentagon allegedly lost $6 or $7 trillion and they have no idea where it is. How is it that you can track the national debt to the penny and you can lose track of $6 or $7 trillion from the Pentagon over a period of several a number of years? It points out that this is an increase. This year's increase is $1,400,000,000,000 more than what we had at the at the end of last year, the 2015 fiscal year. The debt amounts to roughly 7.5% of the entire U.S. economy, and we're talking we're not talking about the total national debt. We're just talking about the increase. The deficit for 2016 is about 7.5% of the entire United States economy. That annual debt increase has been, it works out to $12,000 for every American household. From my perspective, that debt, that deficit translates into a $12,000 subsidy for every American household. In fact, the 2016 fiscal year had the third largest increase in government debt in U.S. history. The only two previous times in which the debt increased more than in 2016, fiscal 2016, were during the financial crisis of 2007 through 2009. But there was no financial crisis in 2016. At least that's what they have us believe. Right? So they're saying, what's going on here in part? And what I'm saying, yeah, we have not had an obvious financial crisis. But I'm speculating that what we're seeing may be the result of the fact that 2016 was a presidential election year. And somebody decided, in order to get the incumbents reelected, we must have a strong economy. They have, in my opinion, and it may be an exaggeration, but it's at least partially true, they have subsidized our economy to the tune of $12,000 per household with the additional deficit spending of this past year. Now, it may not be true that the entire $12,000 was worked out to be a subsidy, but I believe much of it, most of it, did. Where would your household be right now if it was $12,000 deeper in debt? Where would mine? Where would everyone else's? I think this debt, this deficit for the year, for 2016, is evidence of how desperate they are to try to hold this country together, or hold this economy together. And I think, I'm only speculating, but I think a primary reason, perhaps the primary reason, is that this was a presidential election year, and they wanted to reelect incumbents. Now, assuming, let's speculate and suppose that I'm correct.
Well, that's always been true, Al. In election years, they always hold it together.
Well, I understand that.
Yeah.
It's not news, but it's something worth considering. Because assuming it was correct that much of the reason for the third biggest annual deficit in American history had to do with a presidential election year, this year being presidential election, assuming that were true, what's going to happen after the election is over? What's going to happen in the first quarter of next year, or maybe the second quarter of next year? Will the amount of money that the government is borrowing and going deeper into debt, will it be significantly reduced, or will they continue to go further and further into debt? And can they go much further into debt before creditors finally say, that's it, we're cutting you off, Charlie? You understand? We don't think you can make the payments, and therefore we're going to stop lending you money. We are in a strange situation. The total national debt, which is again almost $20 trillion right now, that's the official national debt. Again, John Williams at shadowstats.com, he says it's closer to $100 trillion. The Congressional Budget Office and the economist Lawrence Kotlikoff said is the total national debt, including unfunded liabilities, is over $200 trillion. The official national debt translates into $165,000 per household. That's not the debt that's been incurred in the last 12 months, but it's the your fair share, each household's fair share of the total national debt, $165,000 per household. Where do you suppose your household would be if it had to pay $165,000 fair share of the national debt? Do you have an extra $165,000 to pay Uncle Sam and or his creditors? Right? And the answer is, for most people, the answer is no. And the next question is, how much longer can government continue to keep the U.S. on life support with what translate into this last year? We've had $1.4 trillion in deficit spending. That translates into a little more than $100 billion per month. Right? How much longer can government continue to keep the U.S. on life support with $100 billion subsidies each month? Where will the economy go once the annual deficit and arguably subsidy is reduced? Are we headed directly into recession? Are we headed for a depression? Is the $1.4 trillion annual subsidy for AD 2016 largely based on government's determination to support the economy during the election year? If it is, what's going to happen to that subsidy once the election is over? Can we expect the subsidy to dry up significantly by the first quarter or second quarter of next year? What happens to the economy when the government stops borrowing to subsidize the economy? And the answer, in my opinion, is that the economy tanks. The implication is that Sosa is that the U.S. economy is not running on its own strength. All right, people have claimed, oh, we're having some kind of recovery, things are better. Yeah, there's some evidence of that. But my standard of living would be also much improved if someone would lend me $1.4 trillion. You know, my circumstances would improve, and everybody said, wow, is Al ever doing great? Did you see the new cars and the house and all the rest of he's got? Well, is Al doing great because he's actually earning money, or is Al doing great because he had was able to borrow a small fortune? The government's $1.4 trillion in deficit spending this last year is to some extent creating the illusion that this economy is strong. Without that $1.4 trillion, what would have happened to the government? What would have happened, excuse me, to the economy? We'd probably be in an absolutely overt recession, which I think we are anyway, and maybe a depression. So we're on life support from my perspective, and what happens when if the borrowing stops? The answer is so will the U.S. economy, or at least slow dramatically. So that's one of the fundamentals that you look at and you say, where do you want to be? Where do you want to store your wealth? I mean, we can see, you look at this and it's one of the fundamentals. Tell us we're headed for big trouble. And if we're headed for big trouble, what's the go-to safety haven of safe? It's gold. It's gold. Gold, 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 gold. Silver to a lesser extent, but gold. Go ahead.
Well, you know, you're right. I mean, $1 trillion in annual, it is quantitative easing. I mean, you know, these low interest rates is quantitative easing. Mm-hmm. It's keeping the system going and so forth. They're not going to stop it, folks. It's going, you know, I believe they're going to continue to print and do whatever's necessary till their last breath. But
I agree.
The question is, how close is that last breath? And, you know, we talk about, and you're right, Al, the $1.4 trillion annual subsidy, but hey, we're talking also almost probably over $11 trillion since 2008. What happens when $11 trillion? Somebody might say, oh, well, $1.4, you know, that's not too bad. Well, how about $11 trillion, you know, over the, since 2008?
We've doubled the national debt during the Obama administration. Doubled it. Right?
And
it has to tell you that the economy is messed up. It is weak. Otherwise, it would not have been necessary to double the national debt. They could have increased taxes if the economy was strong and paid for whatever they thought they had to pay for. They couldn't increase taxes. They had to borrow the money in order to keep this thing alive. It is like Weekend at Bernie's right now.
And they're actually borrowing to pay the interest. If we didn't have to borrow to pay the interest, you'd also see our infrastructure wouldn't be crumbling. You know, we'd have better roads. We'd have better bridges. We'd have better airports. Now, both candidates are looking to, you know, repair our infrastructure with what? There's nothing there.
No.
It's going to have to be money created. And I don't care how much tax cuts you do. I mean, it's all
going to
help. The
only way to work your way out of this, when you say money created, I'd say currency created. You can't create money. Money is gold and silver. You can't create it. You can coin it, but you can't create it. You can mine it. You can find it, but you can't create it. It's created by God.
Yes.
The currency is what can be created. But how are they going to do it? Will the Federal Reserve continue to accept more U.S. Treasury notes, U.S. bonds, in payment for another couple of $1 trillion worth of Federal Reserve notes? The Federal Reserve doesn't want to take any more government bonds. They may take more, but they don't want any more. They've had enough. They don't think they're worth anything. They don't think they're going to collect anything. They think it puts the Federal Reserve system itself in some jeopardy. They know they're not going to be paid. I mean, the debt can't be paid. It's not going to be paid. And the most they can do right now is try to pay the interest. Because if they can pay the interest, they can maintain the illusion that the underlying bonds are still performing, and therefore they are still valuable, and that the principal will one day be paid. But the truth of the matter is, principal's not going to be paid, can't be paid, too big to be paid. Right? And now, if we are borrowing money to pay the interest, we are very near to the end of the line. Once they can't pay the interest, this whole thing goes right down the crapper. All right? And if it goes, what do you want? A handful of Confederate dollars, a handful of Federal Reserve notes, or a handful of gold coins? We're going to take a break for a couple of commercials. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Many, many people have experienced the benefits of drinking all-natural Life Change tea. The unique blend of 8 herbs helps detoxify your body so you can live a healthier life. Numerous testimonies have been given about the benefits of drinking Life Change tea. So, are you drinking Life Change tea? Interested? Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Many are so impressed with our product, they order a year's supply. And why not? When they do, they receive 2 months free. That's a $70 savings. The body is meant to heal itself. Sometimes the body just needs a little help. Get the tea at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. This is not an ordinary green tea, and it's not available in stores. This tea helps with digestive problems, acid reflux, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and as talk show host Jerry Doyle says, it'll make you as regular as a baby bird. Enjoy your life. Get Life Change Tea at getthetea.com.
Talking away. Oh, I don't know what to say.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just wanted to let the listeners, you can't get discouraged because the price has dropped. To me, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that at least y'all can save some money in your purchases of gold and silver. And it does give us another day to prepare. And yes, I know people might say, well, that's not the right way to think about it. But yes, it is. We have another day to prepare because, folks, when this happens, it's going to be nasty. And you're going to wish you had another day. You're going to wish you had another day to prepare. You're going to wish you had another day to pull your money out of the stock market, out of your pensions, out of your IRAs, and to purchase gold and silver to protect against what's going to happen to our financial system. So take advantage of the pullback today. And as long as we're in a fiat currency, we know where this is going to end, and it's not going to end happily for those that are holding paper investments. So if you want to speculate and hold some money in paper, that's fine, but get it insured with your gold and silver. And you have to be properly insured, not these 5% and 10% that these people tell you that you should own in physical and then get the rest in penny stocks of gold and so forth. That's not going to protect you. You need the real item, the real gold. You need to take physical delivery of it. If you don't have gold in your hand, the real thing, you don't own it. Paper shares are not gold. Mining shares are not gold. You have to have the physical gold in your hand. So give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And, of course, these programs you can listen to from the website and, of course, our archives.
We're talking about the debt, the national debt, in the previous section, and here's the previous segment. And here's some more comments on the national debt. Social Security and Medicare now comprise the largest part of the annual deficit. And according to their own projections, the drain on the budget is growing each year. All government spending combined pales in comparison to Social Security and Medicare. Social Security and Medicare consume the vast majority of U.S. tax revenue, forcing the government to borrow incredible and unsustainable amounts of currency to fund its operation, even in good times. Worse, Social Security and Medicare aren't even properly funded. Both are rapidly running out of money and are in need of a huge bailout. It's estimated that government will need to borrow $42 trillion to make Social Security and Medicare programs solvent again. Now, it doesn't mean that they have to borrow $42 trillion next year. But over the course of the next decade or whatever, they need another $42 trillion. Now, we're talking, if they need another $42 trillion, this is on top of the current official national debt of $20 trillion. They're talking about increasing the current national debt over the next decade or thereabouts by a factor of 200%. They're increasing it. It's going to be three times as large as it is right now if they're going to fund Medicare and Social Security. There's no way that's going to happen, except maybe in the context of a hyperinflationary period where a dollar becomes worth a dime compared to what it is today. All right, if you could pay off $42 trillion if it was only worth $4.2 trillion in actual purchasing power. Hyperinflation can make that happen, but without hyperinflation, there's no way they're going to touch. The debt's not going to be increased enough to support Social Security and Medicare. Social Security and Medicare can't pay the debts, can't pay the promises government has made to the American people. Therefore, Social Security and Medicare benefits will be dramatically reduced. It's inevitable. There's no way getting around it. The only question is when. We are coming to the end of our monetary experiment with a debt-based monetary system and a debt-based economy. We're going to reach a point where we can't go any deeper into debt. And when we hit that point is unknown to me, and I don't know of anyone who knows when the end of the line is going to absolutely be here, but it could be here at any time. We tell you that on a regular basis. But it's one of the reasons. You look at this and you see this, you see some of these numbers, you begin to realize the gravity of the situation, and you sit back and say, I bet this isn't something that's going to happen to my grandchildren. I'm betting this is something that's going to happen to me. This is going to happen in my lifetime, and maybe not 10 years or even 5 years from now, but maybe conceivably before the end of the year, but perhaps within the next year or two. What do you do? Right? You know the ship is going to sink. It's going to happen. We know that. It's got a hole in the boat, too big to patch. The water's going to make the ship sink. We don't know exactly when the ship is going to sink, but what is more sensible right now? To go count your bowling balls or to strap on a life preserver and prepare to go over the side? It's going to happen. All right? Gold is that life preserver. Here's another one of these. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I just wanted to, when we talk about life preservers, and, I saw today people in Florida, Hurricane Matthew, they're already hitting the grocery stores. Their aisles are already bare. Gas stations, people are flooding to the gas stations, flocking to hardware stores. This is the first hurricane to hit the Atlantic coast in over 10 years. And it's going to be the same thing when it comes to your finances. People are going to wait. They think they're going to have all the time in the world. They listen to mainstream media. They listen to the pundits on the financial news programs, and they think they have all the time in the world to prepare. And then all of a sudden you wake up and you have a storm ready to bear down on you, and you're running around like a chicken with its head cut off trying to prepare. Folks, prepare before the storm gets here. And this is, you know, for all my clients in Florida and on the East Coast, myself, hopefully by the time it gets up to this area, it's going to weaken a little bit. But, be safe. I know many of our clients are already prepared, so they know how to handle this. But not sure what type of storm hurricane this is going to be once it gets to the East Coast, but it certainly is looks like it's going to be a nasty one, and several states have already called emergency measures. They're already planning evacuations. Are they overreacting? Don't know. But I guess it is better to be safe than sorry.
What's the worst case if you prepare and nothing happens? You go out and buy a bunch of food. You go out and buy a bunch of food, and you got food stored up now. So you're going to eat the food. You buy a bunch of gasoline sooner than you planned. You can still drive the truck. You can still put it in cans, and you can use it in the generator, or put it back in your truck or your car the next week or whatever. Still use it. The preparation that's required for some sort of a survival circumstance is preparation that is not going to be wasted. You might not need it exactly at the moment you're anticipating the emergency, but you can use it. Nobody's recommending you prepare yourself for a hurricane or any other sort of emergency by stocking up on TV Guide. All right? That's not all you need. You don't need more copies of the National Enquirer or whatever tabloid they're pushing down at the grocery store. You need food, you need water, you need guns, ammo, gold, silver. All right? And in the event that the emergency doesn't take place when you think it might, you haven't wasted your money. You may have spent money before you might otherwise have wanted to do so, but you haven't wasted it. You still have product that is valuable.
Just like my family will ask me, Melanie, do you need anything? It's like, no. I don't need anything. I'm prepared. Well, maybe I'll check my batteries, make sure I have enough and so forth. But it gives you comfort. You don't need to be scared if you're prepared. Don't be scared. Be prepared.
An article from Business Insider. Headline is Goldman. Big money investors are dumping stocks at the fastest pace in years. This goes to fundamentals from my perspective. Mutual funds could sell more stocks than they buy this year for the first time since 2012, making them net sellers. This is according to Goldman Sachs. During the second quarter of this year, big money managers who pool their assets for all kinds of investors dumped the stock market for a third straight quarter, according to, again, Goldman Sachs. Mutual funds have suffered massive outflows in 2016. As of the end of September, the mutual fund domestic and foreign outflows totaled $156 billion, more than double the amount of outflow in 2015 and the most since 2008, the onset of the Great Depression. Like mutual funds, foreign investors are fleeing the U.S. markets. Although their selling slowed from $108 billion of U.S. stocks in the first quarter to $46 billion in the second quarter. We cut our 2016 forecast of foreign investor demand for U.S. equities to a minus $125 billion from minus $50 billion, given lower than expected demand during the first half and weak U.S. Equity returns in the near term. All we're looking at here, to me, is that the fat rats are swimming for shore. They're bailing out. Does this indicate that the ship is sinking? Not necessarily. But it certainly gives us credible reason to believe that maybe it's sinking, maybe it's getting close to sinking. Here's another one from Gold Eagle. It says, it's not just Deutsche Bank. The whole financial sector is dying. These are great times for financial assets and by implication for finance companies that make and sell them, right? Alas, no. Just the opposite. Each part of the FIRE, and that's an acronym, and it stands for finance, insurance, and real estate, and they are referring to the FIRE economy, the finance, insurance, and real estate economy, is imploding as modern finance hits the wall. Interest rates, for example, have fallen for three decades. Stock prices are at record levels. Real estate bubble is revisiting its recent bubble. In this kind of paper paradise, it's no surprise that banks and their cousins have grown fat, happy, and arrogant. However, with the above trends now beginning to end, it's also no surprise that business models premised on continuing low interest rates and continuing record stock prices and continuing high real estate prices, models based on these premises are also failing. Everyone by now knows that the Deutsche Bank story of bloated costs, horrendous derivative exposure, and debilitating criminal penalties. But lots of other finance companies are staring into the same abyss. Now, there's a list here of additional banks and financial institutions and pension funds that are finance companies that are staring into the same abyss. I'm not going to read it, but the article I'm reading from continues. It says, if every part of the financial sector hits the wall simultaneously, the resulting crisis will overwhelm the ability of governments and central banks to keep the game going. Their last desperate policy experiment will involve coordinated currency devaluations to make debts less onerous. Well, first of all, whose debts are they trying to make less onerous? And the answer is the governments. Right? The governments of the world, and the U.S. leads the list, are in debt up to their ears. The debt can't be paid. They're going to try to make the debt less onerous. That means they're not going to pay all the debt. And they're going to try, and they think they're going to, this article, which is interesting to me, because this is coming from Gold Eagle. They ought to know what they're talking about. Their last desperate policy experiment will involve coordinated currency devaluations. How can you devalue fiat currencies in a coordinated manner? Right? When you have a currency that is worth, let's just say that a dollar and 1 ounce of silver are equivalent. That was true when I was a boy and a young man. Right? 1 ounce of silver, one paper dollar, they were equivalent. If you wanted to devalue the dollar, you had to sit back and say, okay, from here on out, we're going to need $2 to get 1 ounce of silver. We would devalue the dollar, but it's devalued in relationship to something tangible. Silver, or you could do it with gold also. But you can devalue your currency if it is pegged, if its value is based on some tangible benchmark. Right? But how do you do it when the dollar, its value is determined in terms of a relationship to the euro? And the euro's value is determined in relationship to the pound. And the pound's value is determined in relationship to the yen. And the yen's value is established in terms of the dollar. The whole thing is circular. How do you have a coordinated currency devaluation when none of the fiat currencies are pegged to anything real like gold or silver? If I reduce the dollar by 50%, what does that have to do with the euro? The euro can reduce by 50% at the same time, and the euro can. And when they do the, so can the English pound, and so on. The whole thing is just relative. It doesn't. There's not a real foundation, a cornerstone in relation to which these fiat currencies can be devalued in a coordinated manner. We see this all the time. The currencies exist in a teeter-totter relationship because the dollar is the world reserve currency, or primary, has been, and now not to the same extent, but it's still the primary world reserve currency. Formerly, it was almost the only world reserve currency. It sits on one end of the teeter-totter. On the other end of the teeter-totter, we have the other dollars, the other currencies, fiat currencies, that comprise the U.S. dollar index. When they go down in value, the dollar has to go up in value. When they go up in value, the dollar has to go down in value. The point is that it's true that we could have the rest of the currencies might be devalued in a coordinated way, but when they do, the dollar, if they go down, the dollar has to go up. We can't tolerate debt deflation in this country. If the dollar's value goes up, the debt becomes larger. We already can't pay it. We probably can't really pay the interest. If we have, the point I'm trying to make here is that there's not going to be a coordinated currency devaluation. I don't think it's possible with fiat currencies. I missed a boat. But it's time for us to take, I missed the signal for time, but it's time for us to take a break. I'm Alfred Addis. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We're talking about how the debt can be minimized. They said they want to reduce it to make it less onerous. There are problems with that that make reducing the debt virtually, it can't be done in an orderly manner. It can happen, but only in the midst of calamity. The only way the various governments, national banks can be, national debts can be reduced is by outright repudiation. Those who have, say, a $100,000 U.S. bond will receive only maybe $10,000 for that bond. 90% of their paper wealth will be destroyed at the same time that 90% of the national debt is canceled. The system can't come down in an orderly, systemic, and controlled manner into a soft landing. The only way we can get out of this debt-based monetary and economic system will be by catastrophic failure. One day the system will be flying along and seemingly doing okay. The next day, or maybe the next week, or the next month, the system will fail so catastrophically that it will be gone and cease to exist. Why? Why make such a dramatic payment? Because first off, the debt is too great. It can't be repaid in full. They can repay part of it, but they can't repay most of it. And in my estimation, I doubt that they can pay more than 20%, and perhaps 10% is going to be the top end. If you're holding paper, in my opinion, you're going to lose 90% of your perceived wealth before this is, if you hold it long enough. But the debt can't be paid. First reason. Second reason. The debt can't be paid in full without repudiating the correlative paper assets. We can't just go out and cancel the debt because we live in a debt-based monetary system, a debt-based economy. It's all based on U.S. bonds, which are nothing but debt instruments. If they cancel $20 trillion national debt, they say, yay, we've canceled the national debt. It can't. We're not going to pay it. And yippee, we're not paying any debt anymore. When they cancel that, they also revoke $20 trillion in U.S. bonds. The bonds that back up that debt that are now being treated as assets in banks and pension funds, if we wipe out the $20 trillion debt, we wipe out the $20 trillion in paper assets. This economy, the U.S. economy, cannot stand the loss of $20 trillion in paper assets, and I doubt that the global economy can withstand the loss of $20 trillion in paper assets. They are caught between the rock and the hard place. They can't pay the debt and they can't cancel the debt. What are they going to do? It's the reason why I'm saying the only solution to this problem is a catastrophic failure. Everything's going to be going along pretty cool. It'll be all right. And all of a sudden it's going to snap like the wing falling off of an aircraft. Just bang and it's gone. And nobody sees it coming. I mean, we can sit here and warn one of these days, that wing's going to fall off. Yeah. But nobody really knows when it's going to happen. When it does happen, it's going to snap like a dry stick. And all of a sudden, bang. And if you're not ready before it snaps, it will be too late to get ready afterwards. The only thing we don't know is when this cataclysmic event will arrive. You'll be able to see some signs of it's coming. You'll be able to see some fundamentals where, in my opinion, if you look at it and say, gee, this is bad news, you're going to see this in a general sense. But specifically, nobody knows. I don't think anyone can know. I think the economy, when it goes again, will snap like a dry stick. Suddenly, no precise warning, not even hours or days in advance, just snap, and all of a sudden, it's like the lights go out. Now, it may not be quite as dramatic as I'm suggesting, but I don't think we're going to just ease into this because I don't see any way to get rid of the debt. You can't pay it and you can't cancel it. What are you going to do with it? There's no other alternative other than a catastrophic failure, in my opinion. Gold, as always, is the safe haven. If you agree with my opinion, my analysis on this, it's one of the things that tells you, get out of paper. All right? Get out of paper debt instruments. Put your wealth into something tangible like gold or silver. So, Melody, you wanted to say something about...
Well, yeah. I mean, they can only grow the debt until it collapses. And it's really... And it's just not this country. It's worldwide. And it's beyond fixing. And that's the problem. I believe it is beyond
fixing.
Yeah, that's
the problem. We're in so deep they can't get out.
Deep.
It's part of the reason why they just keep laughing and grinning and say, oh, it's all under control. No, it's not.
No,
they know this. You can't pay the debt and you can't repudiate the debt. What are you going to do with the debt?
Can continue to grow it until they can't anymore.
Yeah.
So, and that is when we don't know. But, you know, I mean, if you would have talked about $1.4 trillion in a year 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it would be like, are you kidding me? They can't do that.
No, and people tell you, if anybody came up with a debt that large, deficit that large in 1 year, and not a war, when there wasn't a war going on, why, the president should be impeached, at least, if not tried for treason.
Yep.
Now, it's just, oh, yeah, big deal, $1.4 trillion.
What's a trillion?
Just
and
wait.
It goes to show how
just
worthless
wait.
Monies and currencies are around the world.
It also it's shows how worthless. Blasé people are.
Yes.
How they don't seem to understand the peril they're in. You know, they've had, when they were first building... Oh, aircraft, where they were using carbon fiber to make wings and whatever. It was very strong material. But the problem they had is when it went, it didn't tear a little bit. I mean, it just snapped and a wing would fall off. You understand? Flying along, you got two wings, all of a sudden you don't. All right? This debt-based monetary system, in my opinion, is like those carbon fiber aircraft. All right? Brilliant, lightweight, got a lot of things going for them, but at least the early ones, when they broke, they just, bang, it was done. But same thing, we have a debt-based monetary system. We have a debt-based economy. We have more debt than we can ever repay, and we can't repudiate the debt without canceling the paper assets. We can't get out of this without something like a catastrophic failure, in my opinion. I don't see any way. There's not going to be a soft landing. It's not going to be engineered. It's going to be here today and hell tomorrow. That's what it's going to be. And what's the solution? I don't know that there's a solution, but there's a preparation. You know, they're ready.
And you know, we talk about the world leaders know. You know, we talk about the meeting. They're coming here to Washington, October 7th. That's Friday. And you know, it's going to be all about globalization. They're concerned about this backlash against the globalization that is being manifesting in these various places. We've seen it with Trump, the Brexit, Le Pen, Germany, Greece. You know, people are tired of it and they're recognizing it. So I looked at this in a different way. Are these world leaders really concerned about globalization, or are they really concerned about the system? Because it is that globalization that kind of glues it together temporarily. So they understand what happens if this is disrupted in any manner. And, or otherwise, I think they'd probably say, well, if it was not as close to a, you know, some sort of a, you know, catastrophic event or to where they lose control, they'd probably say, oh, you know, let them vote for Trump, you know, in 4 years, he'll be out of there. Yeah. But it's not like that. So they're meeting October 7th to the 9th. It's the annual meeting of the IMF and World Bank. And Lagarde says there's two tasks. First, do no harm, which above all means resisting the temptation to throw up protectionist barriers to trade. Yeah. Their second is to take action to boost lackluster global growth and make it more inclusive. This is what they're coming to Washington for. This is why the IMF and the World Bank and other leaders are coming to Washington, is to try and keep it together, to keep it from falling apart.
Well,
because
they've done
I think
such
that's
a great
how
job.
Close. I think that's how close we are to having it fall apart.
Well, they've done such a great job in holding it all together over the last 8 years that we can just take great confidence. I'm sure they'll be able to work it out this time. All right. They do no harm. They say they want to do no harm first, do no harm. Do no harm to who?
To them.
Do no harm to the people of the United States of America, or do no harm to the New World Order. They don't want this protectionism. They don't want to resist that. To heck with the people. These geniuses who are running the New World Order, they're so smart, they know what to do. How did we get in this mess if they're so smart?
Yep.
How did we get here if they're so smart? They're presuming they're the masters of the universe, and they are presumably running this globe. All right, well, you put us in this mess, and all we're saying is we've had enough of your masterminding, and we would like to try to handle things on our own. And we don't need the New World Order. It needs us. And they're saying, do no harm. They don't mean do no harm to the American people, to the people of Europe, or people of many countries. They mean do no harm to the New World Order, point one. What was their second point that they said? They take action. Oh,
take
yeah,
action.
Take action. Like what? Like what? Print more fiat currency, lower interest rates instead of nearly down below zero. We can drop them down to below 10%. What action do they think they
push
can
the,
take?
Push the U.S. into negative rates.
The whole thing is insane. I mean, this is just a certain amount of wishful thinking and evidence. If we can believe the reports, it's evidence that they're desperate.
They are.
They're not coming here with confidence to say, what the heck are we going to do?
The answer
is... Watch the wing fall off. That's what you're going to do.
The world economy has turned in the worst performance in 6 years in 2015, and it expanded only by 3.1%. How well can the U.S. be doing if the whole world economy is turning in the worst performance in 6 years? It's all done by government debt money. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no reality to it
that
whatsoever.
Can't be paid. And it's can't just be like,
but you know what? It's the same thing as our elections. We have a VP election debate going on tonight. Tim Kaine and Mike Pence, they're, you know, doing their thing tonight, their debate. It's just, it's almost like those who are so Democratic, so to the left, they don't even entertain any thoughts about what is wrong with the problems in this country. And it's really, truly mind-boggling that people can't see this. I don't understand why they're
because
just
there's
so
no solution,
closed.
In my opinion. I think this is the kind of thing where a lot of people are reluctant to even look at the problem because there is no solution. We can't pay the debt and we can't repudiate the debt. What are we going to do? Shake your head? Well, you can do that. Look the other way. Watch TV. Do whatever you want to do. But the problem, the big problem, is the debt, and it can't be dealt with. It's too big for us to handle. So what are we going to do? It's the number one problem, I believe, in the world. Mm-hmm. Huh? Whole thing is built on debt. What happens when they finally have to admit the debt can't be paid? It means the debt-based monetary, it means all things associated with debt. All of a sudden, the world is going to say, uh-uh, not me. I'm not going any deeper into debt. I don't want any more debt instruments. I'm not buying any more bonds. I'm not buying any more stocks. I'm not trusting in a pension fund or a bank account. What are they going to do? If you take the debt, if they have to admit the debt doesn't work, the whole debt-based monetary system and the debt-based economy collapse and go in search of another basis for running an economy, and it won't be. I know that the New World Order will try to impose a new and improved debt-based monetary system and a new and improved debt-based global system, global economy. They'll try to improve it because or impose it. But I am doubtful that they'll succeed, and even if they succeed with a second debt-based monetary system for a little while, it'll fail soon enough, it'll become obvious soon enough where people are going to wake up and they're going to say, I want some gold.
You know, it's interesting. There's a lot of comments in this article that I was reading. I think we're just about out of time. But this comes from a Ding Shang. He worked at the IMF from 1997 to 2010. Interesting. Right now he's at the Standard Chartered head of Greater China Economic Research. And he says the consensus in policymaking circles was that more trade meant better economic growth. But the benefits weren't shared equitably. So now we see a round of anti-globalization, anti-free trade, meaning China took it all. He says globalization will stall for the moment until we can find a way to share those benefits. Do you think China's really going to share those benefits?
Yeah, right.
And it was interesting that he was working at the IMF when China, between 1997 and 2010, exploded in growth. So, you know, it's... I hardly think so.
I think part of what's happening here, there's a movement to have a guaranteed annual income for everyone, $1,000 a month per person. All right? Forget about welfare and all the subsidies and the rest of it. Everybody gets $1,000, a minimum amount you could live on it, blah, blah, blah. All right, sounds like an interesting idea, but you know what I think that is? I think it's just a way to let people ease into the idea you're going to be replaced by a robot, and soon it won't matter whether you get $1,000 a month or you get anything a month, you're not going to be able to get a job. And a lot of people sit back, well, I don't, if I get $1,000 and I get replaced by a robot, but I still get $1,000, a lot of people go for it. But once they get enough robots in here, there's going to be a big question about how many people do we really need. And this is going to be a dangerous and painful question. And, you know, it will not, the answer will not be something that the world can take pride in. I doubt that we'll handle it properly. So, my point, again, we're in big trouble. It may not appear that way, and I'm not trying to sell fear, doom and gloom, but I'm telling you, there are troubles approaching, and a sensible person is going to begin to protect themselves, their family, as best they can. That suggests gold and silver, among other things, to me at least. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.